The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Amen. The Missouri Synod's constitution has always included a paragraph devoted to conditions of membership. As we might expect, that section has always maintained a rigorous commitment to the Lutheran confessions as well as the Holy Scriptures. Synod's history is quite consistent in this respect. But other provisions have come and gone. For example, this one. Exclusive use of the German language in the synodical conventions. That was present in the first constitution. It's now long gone, and I suspect that with a few notable exceptions here this morning, we're all quite glad. Another provision that didn't make it till today is the one requiring proper, not temporary, calling of the pastors. Now, we could spend a lot of time talking about that particular change, but we won't, at least not this morning. However, in view of today's scripture reading, it is also noteworthy that the first synodical constitution made it a condition of membership that a congregation provide a Christian education for the children of the congregation. A Christian education for the children. Right from the beginning, therefore, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod committed itself to the children. Synods, congregations, the church, Christianity itself were not just for grown-ups, but for their offspring as well. This, then, was the beginning of a synodical commitment that today has resulted in around 900 elementary schools and 6,000 called teachers. And many of us here present this morning have had the blessing of this synodical commitment, either as pupils or parents or maybe even both. Now, a lot was going on, obviously, when our Lutheran forebears started to establish and maintain Christian schools here in America. I mean, sociology as well as theology, ethnicity as well as piety, such things certainly were a part of their motivation. But it is also true that any church worthy of the name, indeed any Christian at all, knows that our Lord loves children. And on more than one occasion, during his ministry, he singled them out for a special place in his kingdom. Now, on the one hand, there is that touching and tender scene in Jesus' ministry. We heard it in yesterday's gospel. Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. But on the other hand, there is this morning's text, the counterpart of the first, that ghastly promise of retribution against anyone who offends one of these little ones who believes in Jesus. It were better for him, threatened our Lord, that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. That's how much our Lord cares for the little ones. But now you have to ask yourself, why? What is so special about children in the eyes of Jesus? Now, from our perspective, the answer is obvious. God made them cute. And not only our own children, but the children of others as well. They are so dear to look at, to smile at, to coo at. I mean, they are just plain cute. But this is first article stuff. It's an example of divine providence, a blessing and encouragement, especially to parents, for the cuteness of their children is proportional to the demands they make on their parents. Caring for the young is hard work. There's no direct compensation, but at least God made them cute. Well, that's us. But it doesn't really explain Jesus, does it? Why does he single out children as models for his kingdom? What's so special about them? What can they do for the kingdom? What can they do for Jesus? Well, it's just the point, isn't it? Nothing at all. Children have no capacities for entering the kingdom and not much for serving in it. In the familiar baptism text, unnamed individuals, probably their parents, probably their mothers, were bringing the children, even infants, to Jesus. Those kids weren't coming on their own. And in this morning's reading, our Lord took the initiative. He called a child and set him in the midst of the disciples. Now, did the children even know what was going on in these circumstances? Probably not. But that's just the point. For when it comes to the kingdom and a right relationship with God, there is no room for human initiative, human effort, self-seeking, self-promotion, self-justification, self-advocacy. None at all. In fact, all of that gets in the way, forms obstacles to grace. This is the point entirely of how God wants to save us, by doing it all himself for us in Jesus. And how different this is from the grown-up world in which all of us live. And I mean right here at the seminary. You want to succeed? You want to graduate? You want to call? Well, then you'd better hit the books. You'd better study. You'd better complete your assignments and get them in on time. I mean, you're a grown-up now. So don't expect somebody else to do it for you. And, oh, by the way, let me assure you, don't expect grace and forgiveness in the classroom. At least not mine. There you have to produce, and you're going to get what you deserve, period. Now, that's the grown-up way. But it's not the way of Jesus. Now, notice, too, that our Lord does not appeal to the innocence of children. Now, that's not at all what he has in mind. For, as every parent recognizes, almost from the first instance of life, every child, every infant is entirely preoccupied with self. Not with God, not with their neighbor, and certainly not with their parents. In this respect, they are just like grown-ups. I mean, helpless they may be, but selfless they are not. So they need saving just as much as anyone else. But there they are, helpless, humble, lowly. In other words, perfect candidates for grace, which God is eager to bring to them by water and the word. Forgiveness of sins, life, salvation. I mean, that's the gospel, isn't it? And you know that it's all yours, no strings attached, but it's not only yours, it's also your children's. Now, in the years ahead, there's a good chance that many of you will have some kind of connection with a Lutheran school. There are a lot of them around. And if you do, I pray that your experience will be as much a blessing to you and your family as my experience has been to me personally and my family. But the times, they are a-changing. And our schools are experiencing great challenges. So it's not exactly clear what our Lord has in store for Lutheran education in the years ahead. No, it's not clear at all. But I know one thing. One thing for sure about the future that we can always depend upon in the Missouri Synod. And that, of course, is God's love in Jesus. But remember, it's not just for you, not just for me, but especially for the children. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.